To ask Val if she'll read to us, please, from Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 1 to 7. It's a very well-known passage of Scripture, and I trust it will be a blessing.
It's on page 1209 in these Bibles. So Hebrews chapter 11, faith in action. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Well, in Alice Through the Looking Glass by Lewis Carroll, the White Queen asks Alice, "How old are you?" "I'm 7 1/2 exactly." "You needn't say exactly," the Queen remarked. "I can believe it without that. Now I'll give you something to believe. I'm just 101, 5 months and a day." "I can't believe that," said Alice. "Can't you?" the Queen said in a pitying tone. "Try again. Draw a long breath and shut your eyes." Alice laughed. "There's no use trying," she said. "One can't believe impossible things." "I dare say you haven't had much practice," said the Queen. "When I was your age, I always did it for 30 minutes a day. Why, sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." I wonder, is that your understanding of faith? Reason tells you that something can't be possible, so you give up reason and then you exercise faith. And philosophers call this a leap in the dark. A friend of mine from an atheistic background sent me a definition of belief and faith advanced by the author Sebastian Falks. And Falks says, "Belief equates with logical conviction. Faith needs emotional effort." In other words, the beliefs that he held were logical, reasonable, and based on facts, while the faith I held was simply an emotional response that had no basis in fact. I told him, of course, that I strongly disagreed with him and that such a definition of faith was far from the biblical definition. And the Bible understanding of faith is stated most clearly in the reading that we've just had in Hebrews chapter 11. And the background to this is that the Jewish Hebrew Christians were under severe pressure to turn back to Judaism. They were persecuted, imprisoned, they endured the confiscation of their property, and they were insulted, as we read in earlier chapters. Was following Christ really worth all of the suffering and pain? And they needed evidence that faith really works. At this point, we come to Hebrews chapter 11 with its roll call of the heroes of faith. Example after example is given, concluding with Jesus Christ in chapter 12. We could paraphrase chapter 12, verse 1 as this: "Since we have such an abundance of evidence that faith really works, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." So let's look then at the meaning of faith in verse 1. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Notice that faith and hope go together. John Calvin said, "True faith is ever connected with hope." And so we compare Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 to 23. There we read, Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water, and let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And faith cannot exist as an abstract quality. It must always have a subject or an object. Faith must be in someone or something. And when we have faith in the God who is faithful to his promises, we have a certain hope. Our faith is not in the promises, but in the God who made them. We trust him because we know that he is reliable, he is trustworthy. And so, for example, if you know someone who repeatedly breaks his promises, what will you do? Well, you take his words with a pinch of salt. You have no faith in him. But if someone else we know regularly fulfills his promises, we will trust them. If they say they will do something, then we will have complete faith in them that they will act and do that. And of course, we all exercise faith every day, don't we? I wake up in the morning and turn on the kettle, anticipating a nice cup of tea in 5 minutes. One day, for the first time in many years, I was disappointed. But having bought a new kettle, I still have faith that it will work and that the electricity will come on. We went to the surgery recently to have our flu jabs. We didn't question the nurse about the contents of the file and whether they were any good. We trusted her. We put our faith in the National Health Service. And I've travelled around in the car a lot in the faith that the brakes will work when I depress them, because I trust the mechanics who did the annual service for me. And that's the way that we live life. We exercise faith because experience has taught us that these things are reliable, at least most of the time. Now, biblical faith is being sure, as we go back to verse 1. Faith is being sure. It is just one word in Greek, and it can be translated substance, foundation, or title deed. Faith is substance, not wishful thinking. Faith is the foundation upon which a secure life stands. Faith is the title deed. And title deeds in ancient Greek literature refer to legal documents that were deposited in the archives that formed the evidence of ownership of certain pieces of land. It's a bit like our own land registry. And whenever there would be a debate about who owned a property, one would need to go to the archives and pull out the documentation that became the foundation for defining ownership. And this brings certainty to any dispute and therefore confidence or assurance for the legitimate owner. Faith is contrasted by some, like Sebastian Falks, to reason. But biblical faith is eminently reasonable because it is based on the unchanging nature of God, who is reliable and trustworthy and faithful. Furthermore, faith is certain of what we do not see. And the Greek word for certain is also translated evidence, proof, and conviction. So faith is not subjective, at the whim of our emotions, but rather it is objective. That doesn't mean to say that it can't have an emotional element, but it is essentially objective. And there are many things that we believe in, even though we can't see them. So an obvious example is electricity. And even more vital is our belief in oxygen and its life-sustaining properties. We cannot see it, but we breathe it. And without it, we would be dead. By faith in God, we have a solid conviction that our hope in him and his promises are certain, even though we may not yet see any physical evidence. But what is invisible to our sight is given substance by faith. Our hope is as real, if not more so, as the ground that I stand on. And we believe in a God that we've never seen, a Christ we've never seen, a Spirit that we've never seen. We believe we're going to a heaven we've never seen, together with people that we've never seen. Faith looks back to the past at a crucifixion that we've never seen, but for which we have good evidence. And so in Hebrews 10:19-22 it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith." Faith also looks to the future for the fulfillment of God's promises concerning the return of Jesus Christ. So in chapter 10, verses 37 and 38, it says, "For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith." And this is the faith of which this chapter gives many examples from men of old who were commended by God for such faith. And so first of all, we see the necessity of faith in verses 3 and 6. The meaning of biblical faith is fleshed out in the following verses as we consider the object of our faith, and it is none other than the God who is the source and the creator of all things, who has made the visible from the invisible, the seen from what is not seen. So verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And he is the God who was before all things." So Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the very beginning of the Bible, "In the beginning, God." And God the Creator brought something out of nothing, and the substance of our reality came into being when there was nothing material yet in existence. And it reminds me of a humorous story. God was once approached by a scientist who said, "Listen, God, we've decided we don't need you anymore. These days we can clone people, we can transplant organs, and we can do all sorts of things that used to be considered miraculous." And God replied, Don't need me, eh? "Let's put your theory to the test. Why don't we have a competition to see who can make a human being?" The scientist agreed, so God declared that they should do it like he did in the days when he created Adam. "Fine," says the scientist as he bends down to scoop up a handful of dirt. "Whoa," says God, shaking his head in disapproval. "Not so fast. Get your own dirt." Maybe easy to make something out of something else. What God did was to make something out of nothing. How did he do it? By a simple spoken word. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And as God spoke, so the universe was formed in response to his word of command. So too it is his word of promise that gives substance to our hope through faith in this same creator God. We understand him to be the creator even though we haven't seen him or seen creation as it came into being. We understand because, as Romans tells us, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And God has left his signature on the fabric of the universe, and it is visible to all. And faith in this creator God is the only reasonable option, so therefore there is no excuse for unbelief. If we are to come to him and know him, we must first believe that he exists. And this faith is absolutely essential if we are to know the certainty of our hope. So verse 6 tells us, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Without faith there is no hope, only a certainty of judgment. But by faith we believe that God rewards those that earnestly seek him. Faith in God motivates us to seek after him that we might know him in our everyday lives and to persevere to the end. The wait will be worth it. The suffering will be worth it. The reward will come in God's time. And so we begin this roll call of faith of people who pleased God and were commended by him. So let's look at verse 4 as we think about starting in faith. By faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith Abel still speaks even though he is dead. From the beginning, God bears witness to the necessity of faith. Adam's sons Cain and Abel made offerings to God. God accepted Abel's but rejected Cain's. Why? Well, some say because Abel offered a blood sacrifice. But I think this passage indicates that it was because his offering was combined with faith. And because of his faith, God was pleased with him and he accepted his offering. God bore witness that Abel was a righteous man through faith. Remember that verse I read out earlier in chapter 10, verse 38. But my righteous one will live by faith. And so by faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. More important than Abel's sacrifice of his lamb was the sacrifice of his heart. He had given his life to God, and so his sacrifice was acceptable. Cain's offering, acceptable in itself, was not combined with faith, and so Cain killed his brother. His offering was a mere ritual with deadly consequences. But by faith, Abel was sure of what he hoped for, acceptance with God and hope of resurrection, such that even though he is dead, yet he knew he would live. Consider two people who come into church and both of them offer a sacrifice of praise. But God may accept one and not the other. One has humbled himself and sought mercy in Christ. The other has assumed that he is acceptable or good enough when he is not. It's the story that Jesus told of the Pharisee and the publican. So will God receive our sacrifice of worship this morning? And then as we go on to verse 5, walking in faith. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. So here is another one on whom God's verdict is righteous. Enoch reminds us that having offered ourselves in repentance and faith, we need to continue to walk in faith, to walk with God to the end. And Enoch walked with God for 300 years. He persevered in faith. He was certain of what he did not see. And that was such an encouragement to these wavering Hebrew Christians. God exists and is a rewarder of those who seek him. And he could not see God, yet he walked with him in righteousness and pleased him, such that one day he walked with God out of this world without tasting death. Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Such belief then continues to walk in faith, to persevere to the end, confident of the reward that God will fulfill his promises. And then finally, acting in faith in verse 7. By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. And faith, as we've often heard, without action is dead. Noah combined what he heard from God with faith and so acted to build an ark. He too found grace in the eyes of the Lord and was counted righteous, walking with God to the end. He endured much persecution during the building of the ark far inland, but because he had a holy fear of God and trusted him, he built. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. When the time came, Noah's faith was honoured. And he was saved by faith in God while others drowned because they could not or would not believe what they could not see. And by Noah's faith, he was commended as righteous before God. The righteous live by faith in God. He took God at his word. He was certain of the coming flood, which he could not yet see. So his faith had substance. And like all these heroes of faith, his trust in God and his word of promise led him to act upon his faith. They all did what they did because of faith. Biblical faith then is substance, not wishful thinking. It is the foundation upon which a secure life stands. It is the title deed that confirms the believer's inheritance. It is a faith in the trustworthiness of the Creator God, a faith that looks back to the cross of Jesus Christ, where we were made acceptable to God in his righteousness. It's a faith that looks forward to the return of Jesus in great power and glory, when what is not seen will be made plain to all, and the hope of every believer will be joyfully realized. But his faith, or this faith, needs to be more than mere mental assent to evidence. It needs to be a faith that is ratified by action and a changed heart. In other words, faith that leads to commitment. And during the terrible days of the Blitz, a father holding his small son by the hand ran from a building that had been struck by a bomb. In the front yard was a shell hole, and seeking shelter as quickly as possible, the father jumped into the hole and held up his arms for his son to follow him. Terrified, yet hearing his father's voice telling him to jump, the boy replied, "I can't see you." The father, looking up against the sky tinted red by the burning buildings, called to the silhouette of his son, "But I can see you. Jump." The boy jumped because he trusted his father. And faith in God enables us to face life or to meet death, not because we can see, but with the certainty that we are seen. Not that we know all the answers, but that we are known. Is that your faith? If not, then jump into the arms of our Heavenly Father. He will save you through Jesus Christ, and he will keep you as you walk in faith and discover that sure hope which will never disappoint. Or perhaps you're going through your own spiritual blitz as you follow Jesus. You feel bombarded on every side. Is following Christ really worth it all? These heroes of faith say, yes, it is. They encourage us to live by faith in the God who is faithful to his promises. His word of promise gives substance to our hope as we continue to jump into his arms and trust him each day as we follow him. The blitz will pass, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Trust him, for he is the faithful God. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we stand amazed at who you are, about your grace, your greatness, your power, and your love, that love that you have shown to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, that even while we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And we do pray that you will stir within our own hearts that faith, Lord, that if we have never put that trust in Jesus before, that we will do so now. But Lord, if we have trusted and have been struggling with faith on a day-to-day basis, we do pray that you will strengthen our faith and help us to recognize that we stand because we have a sure foundation. And Lord, that we have a hope because Jesus has already gone before us and is preparing the way for us. And so help us as we go into this week. May we live by faith and not by sight, trusting in you, the God who will lead and guide us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.